You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
That's right, baby. Thunder. Bringing the thunder today. Welcome to Talkin' Sports. It's just you and me, and I'm B. Byron Avery, your host here on Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. We're brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. We're presented by D-Bat of Monroe, D-Bat, for all your baseball and softball training needs. DBatMonroe.com. Good afternoon, John Tabor.
How goes it?
It's great. Thanks for being here again today. A lot of times I forget to say thanks to John Tabor, but obviously the show could not be done without him. He's one of a kind in many ways.
Yes, that's true. And I'm going to take care of you, Byron.
That's right. I appreciate it. I really do. We've got a good show today. We're going to talk a little bit right this second about the Vegas 16. Later in the show, we're going to have our bracketologist, Greg Peterson, on to talk about it a little bit. But Tabor, it's a little interesting. The Vegas 16 has eight teams playing 11 games in 3 days. So 16 doesn't come in there to play anywhere. But I know that they were hoping to have 16 teams this year, but according to their website, they wanted to make sure they had all high-quality teams. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and look forward to 16 teams next year. But, you know, one of our area teams is in the game, in the tournament. I know that the Bulldogs are out there in Vegas, and Coach Conkle has said he's expecting to have a good time. The two teams with the top records, Tech 23-9 and East Tennessee State 23-11, they'll face off Monday. So a lot to look forward to there. A little bit more college basketball to go for our area teams, and of course, the NCAA tournament still going on. Right now, it's baseball season and softball season, so we're going to announce our starting lineup for today's show. There's that ballpark music. Leading off, we're going to have a little information for those of you in the car buying market. We're going to have What's Hot on the Lot with Zach Green from Car King. Then we're going to have Cody Futrell from the New Star talking about our local high school baseball and softball teams. Coach Joe Lockhart, the baseball coach at Quitman High School, will be on. We'll talk about his team, his season, and his expectations. Then we'll go to the aforementioned Greg Peterson, bracketologist, to talk about what's going on in the NCAA tournament and the Vegas 16. Then we'll end with two segments, Sean Williams, ProSports.com, and Hoodat Nation Redemption, talking about the Saints, their moves in free agency, and in the upcoming draft. So a strong lineup today, John Tabor. We're going to try to hit one out of the park.
Sounds like it, and we've got our first guest ready to go.
All right, so we're going to go to Zach Green from Car King. Zach, welcome to the program.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing great. It's a beautiful day for car buying. It's a beautiful day to be doing anything outside. Why don't you tell us what's hot on the lot?
It is a great Easter weekend, man. It's beautiful. I've got four good specials here. I've got a 2014 Pearl White Chevrolet Crew Cab Z71 LT Leather 4x4. That is the new body style with only one owner. And that vehicle is going for $31,995. Also have a 2013 black Chevrolet Crew Cab LT Z71 leather, four-wheel drive, one owner, and that one is $29,500. And for the gas savers out there, you have a 2014 Chevrolet Cruze LT model with only 4,000 miles factory warranty remaining, one owner, price to move at $14,995. Then we have a 2010 Nissan Altima leather sunroof, navigation, power windows, and that one is an amazingly low $9,995.
Wow. Those sound like some very good specials. I know you've got more than that on the lot.
Absolutely.
I want to invite everybody out to Car King. See what's going on. Zach and those guys out there are great. Tell us, give us your address, how they can get in touch with you. I know you got a Facebook page and all.
Absolutely. You can reach us at carkingllc.com, or you can come see us at 12 Louisville Avenue, Monroe, Louisiana. And our phone number is 318-330-9285.
Zach, we appreciate you so much, and thanks for being one of our broadcast partners on the program.
Absolutely, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. That was Zach Green from Car King, our hotline sponsor. So Car King on the Car King hotline. So go visit them. Go visit Zach and the guys at Car King on Louisville Avenue. He gave you just some of the great deals they have going. It's a beautiful day outside. Tabor, I sure wish this weather would have been around last weekend when I was sitting out at the tennis courts freezing.
Well, that's the way it goes sometimes, but hey, without last week, you wouldn't appreciate this one.
You know, leave it to you to find that silver lining.
I try, man. You're always trying to find the best.
I'll
tell you what it is. It's a beautiful day for baseball today.
It is. And speaking of that, we're going to be cutting our program short today. We'll be off the air at 1:30 to make room for Louisiana Tech baseball coming on the air at 1:45. Tech picked up a 5-2 win over Charlotte yesterday. They lead this weekend series 2-0. So, you know, I did have some texts on the Pulpwood Producers text line last week telling me I needed to perk up a little bit. I sounded like I was dead and I needed to be more alive, and so I just texted back, freezing. So that was my excuse last weekend. I was freezing cold out there. The wind was blowing. I had my shorts on. And just, you know, and I noticed John in San's segment, Santoria Black's program on Grambling, prior to mine, he was talking to the Grambling baseball coach, James Cooper, and he said that, you know, Coach Cooper, San said Coach Cooper needed to be a weatherman, and he was doing a pretty good job of it. And Cooper made the comment that weathermen can be wrong in their job and not be held accountable. Where else can you do that?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, there you go. Boom.
You lobbed that one up to me there, B.
I did. That was a setup. I mean, that was a fastball down
pretty
the middle.
Pretty much set it up
slow.
On a tee.
Yeah. Wow. But true. But we won't get into politics much. And we'll see what happens. We are close to our first break, but let's talk real quick about some baseball. ULM baseball doing pretty well this year. All of our area teams are doing well. Grambling has had a 3-game winning streak, I believe that's what they said. Our area high schools are doing great. West Monroe's doing great. We talked last week to the Jonesboro Hodge head coach, Adam Ferris. We've got Joe Lockhart from Quitman on this week. We hope to get several softball coaches on coming up. We know that Louisiana Tech Lady Texters are doing well. The anything that you can bring to us as a listening audience, call us on the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762, the same number for the Pulpwood Producers text line. You can hit us up on Twitter. Follow us on the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed. Send us coaches' names, how your team is doing, your high school team, your favorite college team. Just let us know what we can talk about for you. This is your show, yours and Tabor's. I'm just here to witness. So let's go to our first break. We'll be back. This hour is sponsored by Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance, Gina Eubanks agency owner since 1995. We'll be back with more here on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, here on 97.7 FM, ESPN. I'm your host, Byron Avery. We've told you about our strong lineup card for today. In just a minute, we'll have Cody Futrell, high school beat writer for the New Star. We'll talk about some area baseball and softball. Beautiful day for it. I encourage you to get out, visit your local high schools, find a game somewhere. Tech, ULM, Grambling, there's plenty of action over the weekend. Tomorrow is Easter. Want to remember that Easter is not just about candy and Easter baskets and dressing up. Always remind your children the real meaning of Easter, what the real meaning of Easter is. And it seems like we're ready for Cody Futrell on the Car King Hotline. Cody, welcome to the program.
Hey, Byron. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Beautiful day to be outside.
Yes, it is. A great day for some high school baseball. I'm headed to Ruston High right now to catch the third game of the West Monroe versus Ruston baseball series.
All right. Tell us a little bit about the first two games.
West Monroe has won both games. A dominating performance last night at West Monroe. They won 13-1. They scored 10 runs in the third inning to really blow open the game. They were leading 2-1 at that point. In the second inning, Ruston had a chance with runners on second and third to get the lead. There was a really strange circumstance. They hit the ball. The Rebels got the runner at home. The catcher for West Monroe thought the inning was over, but it was only two outs. He flicked the ball back to home plate. They realized the inning was not over, tried to throw the runner out at third. The ball went into left field, and just a few seconds later, they were able to throw it back home and get the runner out at home. There was runners thrown out at home plate back-to-back on the same play, which I've never really seen before.
Wow, that sounds like it was pretty exciting to watch. I'm sure there were a lot of tense stomachs at that point.
It was, and then in the following inning, West Monroe blew it open. Jacob Pearson, an RBI triple and a two-run homer by Pearson in that one inning. The Rebels batted around, got 10 runs in that third inning, and so they win the series. They're going to try to go for the sweep today. Ruston trying to salvage a district win. And, you know, Ruston is a program that has been up and down in the last few years. They a couple years ago, they, of course, with David Burkhalter, had a really elite pitcher who's now in the minor league. They last year kind of went down from that. And then this year, only 20 players on that entire team, freshman through senior. So for freshman team, JV, and varsity, only have 20 players in the program this year, which is really a strange deal. But, you know, they're trying to do the best they can. They've got a lot of young arms that have gotten a lot better since the beginning of the year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're a pretty good baseball team before this thing is said and done.
Yeah, it's always the trick with baseball, and as it is with most sports. The end of the season, teams can typically be a lot different than they were at the start. What have you seen since our last visit last weekend? I know that we did have some rain. So, but what's been going on? What have you seen since we last talked?
I've covered a couple of Sterlington games. I covered the Sterlington OCS softball game in which OCS won that game. You know, both those teams are really good this year. In that particular game, Sterlington had a lot of problems with errors and throwing the baseball around a little bit and caused some errors that got to OCS to win there. But, you know, I think both those teams will be strong. That's a really strong district this year, again, as it always is, baseball and softball, when you've got an OCS, Sterlington, and Mangum in that one district. That's a really strong there. Then the next day I came back for Sterlington baseball against Claiborne Christian, and kind of the same situation, some errors and some timely hitting by Claiborne Christian as they got the win there. You got to look out, especially in small school baseball, Trevor Rugg, the star pitcher. Claiborne Christian always has one star pitcher that really carries them a long way, and he is the next one. And Trevor Rugg really has had, I've seen him twice this year. He's pitched really well both times. And to get the win on the road at Sterlington, he pitched five strong innings for the Crusaders. And look for those guys to be back down in Sulphur for the state tournament in Class C again. So, you know, that's what I've seen so far. And looking forward next week to catching up with 2-4-A. I'm going to try to get out and catch a West Ouachita baseball game. You know, that's a very strong program. Haven't been able to see them this year, and looking forward to that.
All right. Now, Rugg for Claiborne Christian, that's not any relation to the old Rusty Rugg from Union Parish, is it?
You know, I don't know. I'll have to check into that. But he is certainly a talent to look out for. And you know, if you look through the years with them, Jake Bell led them to a couple of state championships. Osborne, in the recent years, he got them to the state tournament 3 years in a row. They weren't able to win one, but he was really strong. And now Trevor Rugg, Drake was another one. I think he was their star pitcher last year. You know, this really a program that just knows how to train pitchers and get them ready for the big time. And that they've got another good one in Rugg this year. And wouldn't be surprised if he contends for Class C Player of the Year.
Looking down the road a little bit at our area schools, what games do you have on your schedule that you need to cover, that you want to cover, maybe some some matchups that you want to highlight?
You know, definitely any time in baseball when a West Ouachita versus Neville comes around, those are always exciting. Western Ouachita, I think, is going to be very competitive this year. Really excited. I think what Ouachita fans should be very excited about what Josh Morrison and his coach staff are doing with the Ouachita baseball program. Interested to see how that goes. And then on the softball side, West Monroe versus Ouachita, I think them along with Ash, Alexandria Senior High, will be the class of District 2-5A. And then you can't forget about 2-4A baseball, softball as well. They had West Ouachita, Neville, and Bastrop all down in Sulphur last year, and West Ouachita went all the way to the state championship game and was state runner-up. So anytime any of those schools get together, it's going to be exciting. And, you know, and then if you look in the smaller classifications, I think OCS versus Mangum and also OCS against Sterlington will also be really exciting, whether you're talking about baseball or softball. But, you know, there's going to be some really good games coming up, and we're finally getting into some great outdoor baseball weather. So anybody has a chance to go out and support one of our local schools and support these guys really should take that opportunity.
And we've got Coach Joe Lockhart with Quitman coming on today, and we are hoping to get Coach Christy Muse from Quitman softball on pretty soon. Now,
that's Quitman, another strong program, Quitman.
Yeah, they went to because I think the Weston lost to Florine in the semifinals last year in softball, and then Florine beat Quitman in the finals. So a couple of area teams in the even smaller class that are worthy of keeping an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that in the small school class B, softball, really a strong program. Quitman and Weston have been able to make some noise in the last few years. And you're right, Quitman is a really, really good program.
Yeah. Well, Cody, remind us how everybody can keep up with you, because I know you're going to be at some games this week. And for those that can't get out and watch some of those games, how can they keep up with the game while you're there?
CFU Trail. Capital TNS on Twitter, and of course we'll always post our articles at thenewsstar.com, so go by there and see us, and we'll keep you updated on all throughout the week on what's going on in high school sports, and I know our college guys do a great job as well. So thenewsstar.com, and then if I'm out at a game, you can always follow the action. CFU Trail, Capital TNS on Twitter.
All right, Cody, thanks, and we'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week.
Thanks.
All right, that was Cody Futrell from the New Star. A little bit of time before we hit our break. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter feed is at tsports977fm. Go to Twitter, see what we're posting about the show. I retweet a lot of other posts about our area teams, whether it's high school or colleges. We want to give you a forum to keep up with everything. You need to go like our Facebook page, the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports977fm. A lot of avenues to keep up with us. We try to give you avenues to keep up with other folks. You can call us on the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762. And you can hit us up with a text at that same number, the Pulpwood Producers text line. Appreciate Brian Ray and Stephen Ray and Kendra all supporting the show here at Pulpwood Producers. We're going to go ahead and hit another break. We'll be back with more Talking Sports when we come back. We'll have Quitman High School baseball coach Joe Lockhart. You're listening to Talking Sports, ESPN 977 FM. Thank you, Harry Carey. Take Me Out to the Ball Game. One of our favorite songs at the ballpark. And with that, we'll go to the Car King Hotline. We'll welcome in Quitman baseball coach Joe Lockhart. Coach, before I say welcome, I'm following these great sports quotes on Twitter, and Lou Holtz quote just popped up. It said, "He who complains about how the ball bounces is likely the one who dropped it." So with that, Coach Joe Lockhart, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. So tell us about your team this year. I know you've got a pretty good team, and tell us where you are so far and what your expectations are.
Well, we're a fairly young team. We're sitting at 7-6 right now. Back up to last year, we finished a little below 500, but we matched our goal of wanting to make the second round of the playoffs. That hadn't happened in Quitman for about 12 years. And in that lineup, I had four junior high starters. So that brings me to now. One of those is still in junior high, but three of those are now freshmen. So we're a fairly young team, one senior, a couple of juniors, and everybody else is quite young. So weekend ago, we won three one-run games. This past week, we've lost a couple of nail-biters, but that's all part of the growing process.
Absolutely, and it's always good when you can make the second round of the playoffs and have a very young team. So you've still got a young varsity team, like you said, a couple of junior high players still on there. And tell us what's coming up. Tell us about the district and what you're looking for in district play.
Well, you go into district wanting to win it every year. We're back in what I'd call our old district with Weston and Castor and Doyleen. We spent a couple of years there with Shudrant, Forrest, and Simsboro. And we finished near the bottom of that one. But, I mean, that's not always a bad thing because the competition in that district was always really good. Going forward, I mean, again, we expect to win. That's our goal. But when you deal with 14- to 18-year-old kids, you know, you got to take one day at a time on that.
Right. I have that experience at home every day. I have my own team at home. So who's leading the team for you now? Tell me about the makeup, the leadership, and what's going on in that arena.
Well, my one senior, Peyton Bond, is a good leader, good hitter. Is our primary catcher, and will play some outfield for us. Hunter Ford, Cody Lester, Mason Miller do most of our pitching for us, and two of those are so. That involves a junior, a freshman, and an eighth grader that make up our pitching, or the bulk of our pitching. We have others, Brad Acuntz, Case and Womack, that will come in and throw some innings. Peyton will throw some innings, but those three going forward are probably the ones we'll lean on most heavily because it makes we're allowed to play a better defense with those guys on the mound. At the plate, again, a lot of the young guys are the ones that are leading us. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Bradley Koontz, Mason Miller, who is my eighth grader, two of my leaders hitting. Peyton, also one of our leaders in hitting. I think as a team, we're batting around 350 right now. It's just a matter of if we play defense to give us a chance. You know, the pitching has been, we're not going to overpower anybody. We're not going to blow 90 past anybody, so if we're playing good defense, we have a chance, and if we don't, well, it makes our job a lot tougher. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of our team.
Right. It's defense is important. You know, you can find the quote that you want to make it fit. You know, defense wins championships. You can't win without arms. It's, you know, baseball's an arms race. It's just whatever you've got to have on that certain day is what you need. And it sounds like, you know, like you say, when you've got a little bit of your – younger arms maybe on the mound, you're able to play better defense. So that is always important. You can't win if you can't keep them off base, right?
That's right. We have to limit our free passes, and when we do that and keep the ball off the barrel, we have a chance. You know, we're still waiting on a a couple spots to find out who wants to reach up and grab them and not let go. You know, I tell my team every year, if you make it impossible for me to take you out of the lineup, I'll never take you out of the lineup. And those four junior high kids last year took me up on that, and, you know, that's what we went with. So we're still waiting on a couple to show us that they want to be the guy. And if we can find that to be the case, we'll, I think we'll get better at down the stretch.
Absolutely. What's on tap coming up? What's your next few games look like?
Well, we're going to go over to North DeSoto this week. They're a 4A team who usually has a pretty good record. So it's one of those that, I mean, we'll be honest, for Class B, it's a good power points game. And also, we're going to see good play. And if we're going to be anything or do anything, we need to find a way to be competitive with guys like that. We'll go up to Simsboro on Thursday. And those are always knockdown dragouts with them. They're a good team. We got them by a point in Summerfield a couple weekends ago, and I'm sure they'll be anxious to return the favor coming up. So, but we've always had good games with them. Then once we get back from spring break, we'll start our district play, and you know, one of them's a parish rival. And then, again, back to our old district, Castor, we've always had good games with them. And Doyleen, we've played them once in a tournament already, but I don't think they were fully staffed at the time, so you can't really gauge anything. And really, you can't gauge anything by scores this year anyway. I'll look at some scores and think I know what's going on, and lo and behold, the next set of scores shows me I didn't know what was going on. So it's... It's quite wide open, I think, this year.
Absolutely. It's got to be tough yet exciting when Quitman and Weston face off against each other. Y'all aren't far from each other down the road there. And a lot of friends, a lot of rivalries inside the game.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the kids, the parents, I mean, it's all in good fun. They grow up with one another. They play rec ball with one another, and then, but, you know, both teams want to, you know, beat the other's brains out when the game goes on, and then after that they'll go hang out together. You know, but it's a good rivalry.
Absolutely. And I'm sure there's one kid there in Quitman, that young Smith boy, I'm sure he is chomping at the bit to get to where he can play on the varsity team.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And his day's coming.
Josh is a little fire plug. He is constantly on the go. So, well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time today to come on the air with us. Congratulations on your season so far, and best of luck in district play. Good luck next week against North DeSoto.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you later down the road, Coach.
All right, yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Coach Joe Lockhart from the Quitman High School baseball team. A lot of interesting stuff going on there. Call us, let us know, let us get your team on the air. Let us talk about your team. We want to hit all the area high schools, so give us a call on the Car King Hotline, 888-993-7762. Text us on the Pulpwood Producers text line at the same number. Shout at us on Twitter, T-Sports at T-Sports 977 FM. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with more Talking Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program. Talking Sports here on ESPN 977 FM. We just got through talking with Coach Joe Lockhart, Quitman High School baseball coach. And yes, I've said it three or four times already today, but get out and support your local high school teams. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, Easter weekend. Let's go out and see what's going on. Find out Franklin Parish, Jackson Parish, Lincoln Parish, Washtenaw Parish. Union Parish, or as I like to say, Onion Parish. That's not a negative, folks. In just a minute, we're going to have Greg Peterson, our bracketologist, on. We're going to talk about a little NCAA basketball, including the Vegas 16 that has 8 teams, 11 games in 3 days. I like the format. I like the number of teams. I like the fact that it starts on Monday and ends Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on CBS. So they did a good job of getting the games and getting them in where it doesn't take forever to get them played and covered on CBS. And I'm sure CBS was all for it because, you know, at that point in the NCAA tournament, you know, nothing going on during the week. So why not? So we'll take a few minutes, and we're going to talk to Greg Peterson. Greg Peterson, our bracketologist, now joins us on the Car King Hotline. Greg, welcome to the program.
Great to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, since we last talked, a lot of games have been played in the NCAA tournament. An exciting opening weekend. A lot of teams winning games that, quote-unquote, were not supposed to. And but now that we're into the second weekend, it looks like the top teams, minus a few, Michigan State that I had winning it all, for example, not there, but looks like the underdogs, the Cinderellas, are back where they really should be, and that's at home.
Yep, that's certainly the case. Although Syracuse is a team that shouldn't even be in the NCAA tournament, and they're in the Elite Eight, but that's a very weird circumstance. But they were actually the favorite seed-wise last night against Gonzaga. They got gifted that game against Middle Tennessee State, and then they were playing a Dayton team that entered the NCAA tournament pretty much as cold as they were. So Syracuse being the lone exception, you've really got the big dogs right now. All four number one seeds are still in. And if all four number one seeds do make the Final Four, it will just be the second time in NCAA history that that would happen. The other time is in 2008 when Kansas and Memphis memorably played for the national championship.
Right. So, you know, again, like I said, I had the number two seed. I figured if Michigan State could come back and win their conference tournament, I figured they would be right there. And I, you know, I trust Izzo at this time of year, but they just couldn't pull it off on the opening weekend.
I am right with you. I actually had Michigan State winning the whole shebang as well. I really thought that there were three certainties in life: death, taxes, and Tom Izzo's team playing well in March, and clearly that did not happen. Very memorable upset, though. Middle Tennessee State, I felt, should not have been a 15 seed. I felt they should have been either a 14 or a 13. So they were a little bit underseeded. And I did think that Michigan deserved that last number one seed over Virginia. I still thought that Oregon was worthy of their number one seed. But a very, very shocking game. Middle Tennessee State went 11 of 19 from three in that game. It's not like Michigan State shot it bad either. They shot over 50% overall from the field. They were 11 of 24 from three as well. But Middle Tennessee State was one of the worst free throw shooting teams in the nation coming in. They actually pretty much matched the free throw percentage of Michigan State. That was a big key. And they forced Denzel Valentine into 6 turnovers in that game. Just a wild upset. And in my opinion, it was the most shocking first round upset I had ever seen. Because we've seen so many 15 seeds be able to knock off 2 seeds. But typically those 2 seeds weren't the betting favorite entering the tournament.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Of course, Stephen F. Austin put up a good fight, won a game, and battled down to the end in their second game. But let's turn our attention to a different tournament. New this year, and I talked about it a little bit on the program already today, but the Vegas 16, which has 8 teams in 3 days playing 11 games.
Yeah, the Vegas 16 is a very interesting tournament because this is the first year that it's happening. Before this year, you had the NCAA tournament, obviously, and then you have the NIT. The CBI and the CIT are a little bit newer, but they're out there as well. This year, we've got the Vegas 16, and the only reason why we're getting 8 teams instead of 16 is because of so many teams being ineligible, the likes of Louisville and SMU. Because there were so many teams that were now eligible, they only did 8 teams. And in all honesty, I think this was something thrown together a little bit at the last minute, but got a lot of Southern teams in there. Louisiana Tech is a good team that we're going to see. I know that Old Dominion actually nearly knocked off Middle Tennessee State to go to the NCAA tournament. They're going to be in there. You also take a look at a couple Ohio Valley Conference teams. Eastern Tennessee State is going to be playing in there. I really like Eastern Tennessee State. We're going to get to see Javon Gwynn for one last time. He was a transfer from Cincinnati. He had a nice year for the Buccaneers. And then you also take a look at Tennessee Tech. They're a team that not necessarily the stalwarts out there in the Ohio Valley Conference, but they always have a solid team. So I'm looking forward to watching some of those teams.
Absolutely. And, of course, Monday we're going to see two 23-win teams go at it. Louisiana Tech at 23-9 faces East Tennessee State at 23-11. And on the staff, or not on the staff, but head coach at East Tennessee State is former Louisiana Tech assistant Steve Forbes.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting game. And Louisiana Tech also has a first-year head coach. I actually remember this because he actually played out in Wisconsin, and I'm from Wisconsin as well. He played, I believe, UW-Eau Claire and one of the other UW schools. So these are two first-year head coaches that have done a really good job of helping steer their programs in the right direction. Maybe you expected a little bit more out of Louisiana Tech after he got out of the gate so strong in their out-of-conference. I believe that they knocked off Ohio State on the road, so maybe you expected a little bit more out of them. But Conference USA overall, I felt like, got a bad rap. UAB had themselves a really nice year, and actually such a good year that Jared Haas is actually going to be the new head coach at Stanford. So that's speaking a lot about this conference. Obviously, we saw what Middle Tennessee State did in the NCAA tournament. Old Dominion was right there, and they're also going to be in this tournament. And then you take a look at East Tennessee State. They've got a bunch of good transfers coming in. I mean, Murray Bartow did a good job of steering that program in the right direction, but I like where Forbes is taking it as well. They were just banged up last year, and it seems like they're going to get back on track. And honestly, I expect both these teams to be towards the top of their conferences next year. Would not be surprised if both are getting an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament.
Great. You know, I really like the format. Number of teams aside, but I like the fact that it's all in Vegas. All the teams are there. You don't have to travel multiple times, and the tournament itself is going to be played from Monday to Wednesday.
I agree. I like that it's only 3 days. You play one game each day, and then unlike the CBI and the CIT, you don't have a best of three. It feels a little bit more like an NCAA tournament format, and that's what I really like. I think that this is a really good idea by the NCAA. I mean, obviously, these aren't teams that were snubbed for the NCAA tournament or anything like that, but it also gives these teams a little bit more time because there was a nice gap in between their end of the season and to this tournament. You get a couple weeks. It gives them time to be able to practice, whereas if you make the NIT, perhaps you're getting bounced out of the first round and it gave you maybe like two or three extra practices in one game.
Yeah, I felt bad for ULM, Louisiana Monroe. They got into the CBI and they played Furman and they were done, you know, after that first game, but at least they got into a postseason tournament. They had some kind of reward for the season that Keith Richard and those guys had.
And they certainly deserved it, being able to make the run that they did in the Sun Belt. I mean, their out-of-conference schedule just was really a disaster for this team. I mean, this is the same team that took Florida to overtime on their home floor last year, just a bunch of gritty guys, and they actually played against Arkansas Little Rock pretty tough in that first half. It really got away from them in the second half. And we saw what Arkansas Little Rock did in the NCAA tournament. I was very high on this team all year long, and they proved me right by being able to pull off that nice upset against Purdue. And I really do feel like the Sun Belt is heading in the right direction overall. If UT Arlington would have stayed healthy, I know that Kevin Hervey, their leading scorer, got injured towards the end of the year. This could have legitimately been a two-bid league because you take a look at the Sun Belt. We saw what Georgia State did in the NCAA tournament last year. They had a good out-of-conference schedule themselves before falling apart in conference play as well. This is a conference that really is on the rise.
Absolutely. So, now, back to the Vegas 16. Give us your thoughts on how this might turn out.
I think that it's going to be something that's going to be sticking around for a while, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I personally think that East Tennessee State has the best chance of winning it just because they do have so many transfers. I know that they have a 7-foot center that used to play at Indiana. You also take a look at Javon Gwynn. He used to play at Cincinnati back when they were making the NCAA tournament a couple times. I really do like what Forbes has been doing there, and this is a team that was just really banged up last year. It feels like they're hitting their potential this year, and I believe that they do also have Hunter Mascara-Perea. You may remember him as a forward for Indiana. He's going to be transferring in there next year, so I think that this team is really going to want to show well for him so that they can take the next step and be able to make the NCAA tournament. And I think that this sort of a tournament is good for that because it will give all these teams a lot of practice, and I wouldn't be surprised if a couple teams from this year's field makes it into the big dance next year.
Okay. Well, Greg, appreciate you coming on the program. Tell everybody how they can keep up with what you've got going on.
You can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at GUnit_81. And I'm also doing a lot of college basketball blogging in terms of the coaching carousel, player transfers, and things like that on my website. That is dudesonsports.com. And I also host a show every Sunday for 95.9 WNSR out in Nashville, the CBS Sports Radio affiliate. It is called Weekend Whiplash, and it airs every Sunday afternoon.
All right. Well, Greg, go watch some basketball. Have a great Easter weekend, and we'll holler at you down the road.
I'll be sure to do that. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Greg Peterson, bracketologist, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. We've talked a little basketball. We're going to talk a little Saints Nation coming up during the next segment. Actually, the next two segments, our final two segments. We'll have Sean Williams on from ProSports.com and Who Dat Nation Redemption. A lot of things going on with the Saints, a lot of questions. Just want to know where things are headed and what we can make of what's happened so far. We're going to hit another break right now. This hour brought to you by Gina Eubanks, Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden. Gina Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. Talking Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM.
Oh. Okay. Hey, I'm trying to get crunk.
That's it. For those of you who have been to a Saints game in the Superdome, that's the music that plays after a score. And it gets loud and it gets proud. And I'm going to tell you, whether you have rhythm or not, you're moving in that song. I want to welcome in my next guest here in the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Realty Studio, Sean Williams, ProSports.com and Who Dat Nation Redemption. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about with the Saints. I've tried to get us a few extra minutes here. We've got several things to go over. First, let's talk a little bit about free agency. Some surprising things. I say surprising as most fans are kind of shocked at a couple of things. Let's cover what we know so far. We've signed the linebacker special teamer.
Mm-hmm.
We've got...
Actually, a couple of them. We picked up Stupart.
Yes, that's the one I was trying to remember.
He was from Atlanta.
And then Laurinaitis.
Yeah, we signed Laurinaitis from the Rams, but we also picked up from the Browns, Robinson.
Yeah. So we've got the three linebackers that we've signed, mm-hmm. As everybody's been saying. Obviously, the Saints felt linebacker was an issue. So we know that defense was an issue. And I've often wondered if Gary Croton was coaching the defense. For those of you who remember Croton, you know, big on the offense, just tried to outscore everybody all the time. Great guy, though. You know, there seems to be a lot of surprise and almost shock that we matched the tender offer to Josh Hill at tight end.
I have kind of mixed emotions about that, actually. Nothing against Hill. As you and I were talking off the air, I really felt like he was going to step up big time last year. And in all fairness to him, I guess the reason that he wasn't able to was because Watson didn't let him with the incredible year that he had. The biggest question for me moving forward is we have Hooman, and we have the guy we got from the Colts, Fleener, who looks to be a huge addition to this offense with Breeze. I'm just if I'm not mistaken, we had come up with $2 million to sign the tender on him, correct? To match the,
right.
the Bears' offer.
Absolutely.
Okay. Are we going to get, with those other two tight ends, are we going to get $2 million worth of use out of Hill?
Well, in my opinion, looking at it, Ho'omanawanui is in his second year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Showed promise. Fleener has, in my opinion, again, has been outstanding. You know, when he first was drafted by the Colts, I thought maybe they were just trying to get Andrew Luck a little, you know, comfort food, so to speak,
yes.
because they were roommates at Stanford. But he's turned out to be a outstanding.
He stepped up his game
NFL
incredibly.
Tight end, yes. So we do have those two. So why Hill? Well, we had great success with Watson last year.
Sure. And of the three that we just mentioned, Hill will be the longest tenured in New Orleans.
Right.
He knows the system. I take nothing away from Hill. I'm just wondering, you know, you got a potential big-time guy in Fleener, and you're spending money on Hooman, so you're obviously you got plans for him. And he's going to be – Hooman's going to be a special teams player, I would imagine.
Right.
Just like he was last year.
Well, I'm looking at Hill as a $2 million insurance policy.
Sure.
Are we going to have the same success with Fleener that we had with Watson? We don't know. Hooman, we don't know. But what we do know is we have Drew Brees. And Watson never had a season like he had last year until he got with Brees. I say this all the time.
Sure.
Graham was a special player. But he's not so special
without Brees.
Without Drew Brees.
And the older that Brees gets, excuse me for interrupting,
right.
the older that Brees gets, the more involved in that offense the tight end seems to be.
Absolutely.
He uses them as the, what used to be just a simple check down to him is becoming a target now.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and again, like I said, with Graham, you know, went from 90 catches to 45, didn't have Brees throwing to him. I know he missed the last game and a half, something like that. But, you know, still to me, he was still a basketball player. He never became a football player. Willie Snead, never heard of him, but he had an outstanding year last year.
He went from nobody to leading receiver on the team.
Right. You know, because he had what? Drew Brees throwing to him.
Sure.
So, in my opinion, Hill.
Josh Hill.
Is a $2 million insurance policy because you don't know if you're going to get the same success with Fleener as you had with Watson, and Hooman is still just in his second year. But, Brees, yes, I'm a Saints fan. Yes, I'm a diehard Saints fan. So I am biased. But
sure.
with Brees throwing the ball, you and I might be able to combine for a couple of catches out there.
I believe so. How many times have we been wrong? I mean – Brees is what he is, and
right.
whether you're a Saints fan or not, you got to give him his due. And I personally, yeah, he's probably my favorite quarterback ever. But it's easy for a Saints fan to say that. But who the man is, what the man is, what he stands for, Drew Brees to me means as much off the field as he does on the field. If
right.
that makes any sense.
No, it does. And he means a lot to the people of New Orleans, and that's a big deal in that city. You know, Fox and those guys on our station have talked multiple times about this new contract with Peyton, new contract, and Brees' new contract, that, you know, quarterback and coach together in the NFL in this day and age for 15 years is unheard of.
Sure.
Best thing ever for Saints fans. You know, Peyton has – more 10-win seasons than all other Saints coaches combined, 6 of the Saints' 7 playoff wins, and their only Super Bowl victory. So is he worth the money? I don't know that he's worth it. I don't know that anybody's worth $9 million a year as a coach, but he's worth it in this market, and it's what you got to pay to get him.
Sure. And at this point in time, just at a quick glance, I've seen nothing as far as anybody, any names that would possibly be available. I mean, what's the alternative going to be? During the season last year, there were a lot of people hollering it's time for Sean Payton to go. But, you know, you cut him loose. Who are you going to replace him with? You're looking at setting your franchise back, what, 5, 6, 8, 10 years?
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, that's always the question. Who, you know, people get tired of them when they're losing. I remember one broadcaster saying when in Deuce McAllister's last year, when they didn't put Deuce back in when he came back in uniform, you know, Deuce is not his Peyton's guy. I've seen through the farce. Peyton is not the genius Bill Belichick is. Blah, 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 on and on and on. Well, I had heard from my source with the Saints that even though Deuce was back, he wasn't healthy, wasn't sure. football ready.
Yeah.
Even though he wanted to go get in the game, even though he said he was healthy, he just wasn't ready, and he never played another down. So that proved to be true. And there wasn't a big negative because Deuce is still with the Saints.
Yeah.
So, you know, when things are going bad, let's get rid of them all.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's easy to jump ship when things are negative.
Absolutely. He's been the best coach the Saints have ever had.
I agree completely.
As long as he wants to stay there and they're still viable. You know, did they make the playoffs? No. But they had some good wins. They beat the Cowboys and they beat the Falcons.
Someone asked me the other day, and this is strictly and completely my own opinion, asked me, how much, first of all, the conversation started, and they asked me how much longer Breeze would be there. And I said, well, you know, I figure if we can get another 3 to 4 years, at the most, that would probably be it. And then they asked me, well, how much longer is Peyton going to be there? And, you know, I got to thinking about that. And I think the biggest challenge for Peyton at this point is going to be life after Breeze. Because I think when Breeze goes, it's going to be a signal of rebuilding. We're going to have to start from the ground level and build again. And as any real fan or real follower of the game knows, that's going to mean losing. And that's going to mean losing a lot.
Right.
And when the losses start piling up, somebody has to be to blame for it. And that's usually the coach. And I think Peyton will probably be seriously challenged to survive life after Breeze.
Well, that's why we need to find our Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre.
Absolutely. I've said that. That's been my opinion for 2 to 3 seasons now.
Yeah, I think we can have Breeze as long as he doesn't get hurt, you know, as long as he doesn't get injured, as long as he doesn't injure any vital part. I think we could have him for 3 more good years, a fourth year. You know, we may not win a bunch, but a fourth year would still be an interesting team. I don't know that we have our Aaron Rodgers yet.
I don't see anything on the roster. Now, a lot of people jumped to the conclusion automatically last year that Garrett Grayson was supposed to be the heir apparent. I don't see it.
Yeah. I think they thought he might be. I just don't see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Now, I say that. In all fairness to him, he'll have an opportunity to show that in camp this year, to show what he's made of. And the fans will get an opportunity to see what a year's investment in this guy has brought the team. I'm not going to say anything negative against him.
No, there's nothing negative really to say.
Well,
other than we haven't seen anything.
Yeah. He wasn't, to my knowledge, he wasn't active for a single game last year.
Yeah, so, you know, we know that Luke is the backup.
Sure.
Luke's a serviceable backup. He's been a starter a couple of times. It hasn't panned out. Hey, that's fine. I'll be a backup in the NFL. You know, that'd be fine with me.
One of the absolute fundamentally best games that the Saints had last year, the entire season, was the game that Luke started.
Against Carolina. And
one mistake.
Yep.
And, well, I say one mistake, you know, in all fairness to all parties involved, you have to admit that play that Norman made on that pick was an incredible play. But, you know, with me, I don't understand why you got a 6'6" Coleman and you put a 5'9" Cooks on a jump ball in the corner in the end zone.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe because that's not what you expected, so maybe that's why they did it.
But that's just a byproduct of not having your regular guy in there, I believe.
Absolutely. Well, so a free agency, are we done? You talked about Nick Fairley off the air.
I checked that just before we went back on the air earlier, and all indications right now seem to be pointing towards New England being out of the running for Fairley. So that narrows it down, as I understand it, to New Orleans and the Jets. There's rumors running rampant that he's it's a slam dunk for New Orleans. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't trust rumors. They make me look bad from time to time.
Yeah. Well, and again, people are saying, well, where's the money coming from?
That's my question.
Well, so has and again, I don't remember seeing this from yesterday, but is the Breeze contract done?
No.
Okay.
If it is, it hasn't officially, air quotes, been announced yet. I get the impression, just from sitting back and watching what's going on, I get the impression that it's just a foregone conclusion, that it's a slam dunk, done deal, you know, all that. But I would believe that they would at least have to have an idea of what it's going to be and what it's going to entail, or else they wouldn't really know what they have available to spend in the free agent market.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, here's my opinion. The deal's done. Well, the deal will be done.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt that Breeze will have another contract. He'll be in New Orleans. He'll finish his career as a Saint. I think what they're trying to do now is structure it along with some other contracts where they come up with the money. That's why they're going ahead and signing Josh Hill and Laurinaitis, who could have $9.7 million in his contract. I think they'll get Fairley, but it'll be done with money in the new structuring of Drew Brees' contract and a few others.
Sure. Like I say, they have to know something.
Absolutely.
About the deal, because all these, this money that they're throwing around, it would come back to bite them big time if they didn't. That's, you know, that's my take on it.
Well, and so can we say that it's safe to assume that Fairley will be their last free agent?
Probably
signing if we get them. Okay, I know that there's still an if there. I believe it'll happen.
Now, there may be maybe some guys re-signed or, you know,
right,
or other stuff like that. But as far as the quote-unquote big-name guys, I look for that to be it. And as far as that goes, to be quite honest with you, I'm a little disappointed that we didn't address the big hole on the right side of the offensive line. Personally, I think that your offensive line is best addressed through free agency, because you get a known commodity, you know what they can do, you know that they actually have already made the transition to this league. You're not left with looking at a year to 2 years as to whether or not they're going to be able to play at this level, so on and so forth. I believe that they should have addressed it in free agency rather than the draft, because the draft, but you know, by the same token, all the defensive needs that everybody's been saying they needed to address in the draft, you've addressed a lot of them through free agency. So that changes that approach as well, possibly.
All right. Well, that's all on free agency for the Saints right now. We're going to hit another break. When we come back, Sean and I will discuss the upcoming draft for your New Orleans Saints. We're talking sports this hour, brought to you by Riverport Creative Group. And we appreciate their partnership. We're going to take a break. We are talking sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. I know you can't see us, but Sean and I have our umbrellas out, our parasols, and we're marching around the spacious studios at the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Realty office.
You know how hard it is to second line with two people?
Welcome back to Talking Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. If you got a question for Sean, call us on the Car King Hotline, 888-993-7762. That's also the number to text us on the Pulpwood Producers text line. Let us know what you're thinking. Like us at the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports977fm. Send us an email on the Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at tsports977fm. This hour brought to you by the Riverport Creative Group. Talking Sports is brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. We are, as always, presented by DBAT of Monroe. DBAT, for all your baseball and softball training needs, dbatmonroe.com. This upcoming segment sponsored by Greg Phillips State Farm Insurance of Ruston. Visit State Farm agent Greg Phillips for all your insurance needs. Sean, we talked about free agency. Did what we want to do with that. So let's talk about the upcoming draft. You know, Saints have a first round pick, of course. We've addressed a lot of defensive needs in free agency. Most Saints fans still think we need to address some defense with the first pick. You know, there's a lot of – I don't think that offenses is a problem for the Saints. We got Breeze, we got running backs, we got wide receivers and Coleman and Snead and others. You know, it's not that we've got a great and perfect offense.
No.
But if we had to go with what we had last year, well, if we had to go with what we have now, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
So what are you hearing about the upcoming draft?
I've seen several of the mock drafts, which normally I really don't pay much attention to. And to be completely honest, I haven't done nearly the due diligence in terms of the draft stuff this year that I did last year. But all of that being said, most people that I've looked at seem to think that the Saints will be going defense in the first round at number 12. The name that I see quite a bit is Shaq Lawson from Clemson. And I really like that guy. He would look so good in black and gold.
Absolutely.
Just my little 2 cents worth there. I've also seen, I can't remember the guy's name. He's a guard from Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Huge guy, same basic mold as Pete was last year, and like I said, you have a 6-time Pro Bowl, 4-time All Pro hole that you're gonna have to fill sooner or later, and if you want to fill it well, I don't know that we have on roster what we need right now. There's a lot of difference in filling a hole and making do and working around it.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, when do we address offense, and where do we go?
Like you said, for the most part, with the exception of maybe a breakaway home run threat wide receiver, and there again, an offensive lineman, offense is pretty well set. I believe that. I really do. Defense, as we all saw for the past 2 seasons, has absolutely been the bane of the existence of the franchise. And in all honesty, under Peyton, there's never been a great defense. But there's been a few times that they had a good enough defense, like in 2009.
All right.
And there's plenty of room there for improvement. And
we all know we need to get pressure on the quarterback. That's where the takeaways come in. You got to have pressure. You got to put the quarterback under pressure, make him make some bad decisions.
I've always subscribed to the theory, just like I always hear Sean Fox say, the game is always decided on the line of scrimmage, both on offense and defense.
Absolutely.
On the offense, if you can't dictate your impose your will on the other team on that offensive line, you're not going to move the ball. You're not going to score points. You're not going to be successful. And on the other side of the coin, on defense, if you can't get pressure on that quarterback, it doesn't matter who you have playing linebacker and defensive backs. if you can't pressure the quarterback at this level, even the worst quarterback at the pro level is good enough to pick you apart.
Right.
If you give him enough time.
We've seen too many instances, even last year, especially last year maybe, where quarterback has all day and all of a sudden he makes a pass and there's a receiver that's just wide open. I mean, there's nobody within 10, 15 yards of him because they've had enough time to make a few moves and get open.
Sure.
Now, part of that I blame on the defensive line not getting back there. Part of it I blame on the defensive backs for losing their man. But, again, in the NFL, you give somebody enough time, they can get open. So,
I think that there's going to be a big change on this defense, especially in the defensive backfield. Now, a lot of people vilified Brandon Browner, and he's not exactly one of my favorite players these days. But I looked at him differently than most. I didn't crucify him for the way he played simply because the style that he employed, in my opinion, selfish play, but it wasn't any different than what he did in New England and what he did in Seattle. The only difference was when New Orleans brought him in, they were looking at him to be an experienced leader. And that's not a role that he particularly adapted well to.
Well, no, and at this point in his career, playing back there, he was asked to do things that they didn't necessarily bring him in to do.
Sure.
You're not going to be that lockdown guy. So when you have, like we just said, when you have all day to throw, when there's no pressure on the quarterback, Browner got caught in a lot of bad situations, and he made them worse.
Yeah.
You know, to his
discredit. By no means am I giving the guy a free pass.
No.
Because in as simple as I know to put it, in my opinion, he played very selfishly. He was all for himself. And all the things that he did was about protecting him and not promoting the team.
Well, that didn't work out very well for him.
No. But, I mean, when you play that type of game in New England or in Seattle, you've got people around you that can cover you to when you do that. And that's not, obviously that wasn't the case in New Orleans. And rather than being a leader, he slipped further and further.
Right. And, you know, that's why Fox calls him Doo-Doo Browner. But anyway. So, back to the question. When do the Saints address offense in the draft? At what point, what round, what are we looking for? Now, we said we know it'd be nice to have a burner, somebody that can get out there and just outrun everybody, and we do need an offensive lineman. But are we going to find that offensive lineman? And, you know, running backs and wide receivers aren't what they used to be, or maybe they're more of what they used to be. That's why there's so many of them.
Yeah. To be honest, I think maybe second or third round. I wouldn't put nearly the priority on any of those offensive positions based on what we have on roster right now. I wouldn't put nearly the priority on that I would on edge rusher, nose tackle, defensive back, you know, a cover corner. Stuff like that. I think those are absolutely the more pressing needs right now for this team. And that being said, they'll probably do just the exact opposite.
Here's my list. Here's the way I think it ought to go. We sign Fairley. We get Cam Jordan to beat some sense into him.
Sure.
And make him understand that he has to play like he did his last year at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we go defense rounds 1 and 2. And then we find us another receiver, maybe a slot guy in the third round, and just some backup depth in the later rounds. So that's you know, what I'm texting to the Saints and telling them that I'll be real disappointed if that's not the way they go. So,
to be totally honest with you, it seems to me that your draft strategy basically, for all practical intents and purposes, you make a strategy for the first, maybe the second round, and anything beyond that, you're going to just take the best player available from then on. You're just
absolutely.
You're just reacting to what everyone else does.
Absolutely. You know, of course, Peyton has proven that he can get the most out of guys in later rounds and
absolutely.
Undrafted guys. So let's see some of that magic again. It's time to, you know, $9 million a year. Let's see something. You know, again, I pay the man, keep him here. He's the best coach we've ever had. But let's set some expectations as well.
And, you know, I think that we have the foundation as far as the offensive line goes. We have the foundation to have a very good unit. I mean, we got Teron Armstead on one tackle, and we still apparently are going to keep Zach Strief, even though he suffered through what was probably the worst year of his career last year. But we also have Pete and still have Unger in the middle. And you got Lolito, and I forget the guy's name that we used in the Dallas game last year. He stepped in and just did an incredible job. He's just a journeyman backup, and he stepped in just like a starter.
Well, Sean, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. We've covered free agency and somewhat of the draft. Tell us a little bit about this article you've got coming out. The introductory is already ready. What is it, and how can people find it?
Okay, it's a collaboration between myself and Jack Kopansky. Both of us are writers for ProFootballSpot.com.
Not ProSports.com, as I keep saying.
ProFootballSpot.com, and that's where you can find it. It concerns injuries and how they're at nearly an epidemic level in the National Football League. There's so many different injuries. This series of four articles, by the time that it's done, will basically just deal with probably the two worst types of injuries in the league, which would be your ACL, MCL, your knee injuries, and concussions. We have the introduction came out, I want to say, Tuesday, and we've had some really good reviews on it, and we're really proud of it. And the follow-up to that one will be coming out, I want to say, Wednesday of next week, and it'll be dealing with concussions.
Okay. So ProFootballSpot.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me get that right. I'll have to write that down because I don't know where I got ProSports.com. But ProFootballSpot.com, how else can people keep up with you?
I'm on Twitter, at DrewsDad3721. I'm on Facebook in Hoodat Nation Redemption.
You can give me your home address and your telephone number. No, I'm just kidding. Well, Sean, I really appreciate you coming in the studio today. It's a pleasure to talk with you. Sean is a cancer survivor, which makes him a strong person. So I enjoy keeping up with him. I can't wait to get to my review of the introduction to your series. Once again, you've been listening to Talking Sports on 97.7 FM. We've got to cut out early today for Tech Baseball. They're trying to complete the sweep of Charlotte. They won the first two games. They'll be on the air at 1:45. Thank you to our broadcast partners, Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana, Jenny Eubanks, Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden, DBAT of Monroe, DBAT for all your baseball and softball training needs, DBATMonroe.com, Riverport Creative Group, Katie's, Greg Phillips, State Farm Insurance, Car King, Pulpwood Producers, Glassworks of West Monroe, Riverport Creative Group, and Assurance Financial. We'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us here on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at redpeachsports.com.